Hello, internets, and welcome back to another week of JL Plays, the show with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him, where I talk about the latest things to come out on streaming on your Netflix, Hulus, Amazon Primes, and HBO Maxes of the world, from animes, TV shows, K-dramas, mangas, whatever it is that I find online or decide to watch, I talk about it if it's any good, actually. And like always, everything I do talk about on the podcast can be found with links for you in the show notes. Also, if you do enjoy this podcast and you happen to be on iTunes, give it 5 stars so this podcast can grow and get more viewers. On top of which, if you're able to, and it causes you no financial harm, there's a donate button on my podcast page that you can donate to this podcast for as little bit as $1 a month. Again, you don't have to donate if it causes you any financial harm. You can always share this on your Instagram feed, on your Twitter feed, or anything of that sort. And one last thing, if you agree with me or disagree with me, or you have any recommendations, please let me know by email at jlplays@podcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/jlplays78. And also, you can find me every once in a while on Twitch at twitch.tv/jlplays78. Just subscribe to that channel and you will see notifications pop up whenever I am on. That is the best way to catch me live and streaming. And with that self-promotion out the way, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week I will be talking about The Batman hitting HBO Max. Also, tomorrow, a Korean drama on Netflix. It's been a while since I talked about some Korean dramas, and this one really need to talk about it just because of one specific episode. And finally, I will be talking about Outer Range, a Amazon Prime series starring Josh Brolin. But first, this is just a quick little thing that I want to talk about because I'm extremely excited about the fact that it's, you know, that this came out, and I need to let people know, because if you were into this series like I was, you definitely need to know, because you will probably just miss it on Netflix and you would not bother with it. If you ever watched the series Into the Night, about the fact that the sun is now killing people, so all the humans have to live and do everything at nighttime, and during the day they have to hide. Now, and if you're like me, you saw the series, you really enjoyed the series. This series is freaking amazing. It is so much fun. It has so much intrigue. So the reason I bring this up is because there's a spin-off series that it's a continuation of the last season of Into the Night, but they named it something just ridiculous called Yakamaz S245. I hope I said that right, which takes place in the submarine. And quite frankly, I don't know why they named it this. If you just look at it, you'd be like, I don't want to watch it. That sounds like weird. But I looked at the synopsis. Oh, it's a continuation of this series. Why did they give it such a stupid name? Now, this season, or this new series, or the spinoff, or whatever it is, and I guess they're going to find out what's really happening. So I haven't seen this yet. I am going to try to watch it for the next episode if I can. And I just want to let y'all know, because if you were like me and you enjoyed Into the Night, and then you saw this thing pop up on your feed, and you just skipped it because it just didn't interest you, especially because of the name. The name just really doesn't scream anything. No, it doesn't scream watch me. Yeah, if you passed it up, there you go. Go on your Netflix and start watching the new season, because I can't wait to see what happens next. And with all that out the way, let's get right into it with the first topic, which is The Batman.
Fear is a tool. But when that light hits the sky, it's not just a call. as a warning.
Who are you under there?
I'm vengeance.
Now, that was a quick trailer for The Batman, streaming on HBO Max, starring Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, Paul Dano, and Peter Sars. A quick synopsis for this is, The Batman has been roaming the streets of Gotham Cities for 2 years now. In his greatest challenge yet, the masked vigilante is looking for a serial killer known as the Riddler. Let me start off by saying that this film is long. It is 3 hours long. And boy, that I feel it. At one point, the movie had me going where I was so into the movie that I thought, all right, this is a climactic scene. They're giving you this big, like, ooh, oh my God moment, right? So I'm like, okay, the movie's about to end. Then I check the time real quick, and I'm only halfway through the film. I'm like, what? And I'm like, wow, that is just bonkers. I thought this was where the movie was going to, you know, wrap it up. Everything was going to be settled. But no, you still had another hour and a half to go. I'm like, Jesus, this is insane. But I'll give it this. The movie is definitely good. I was pleasantly surprised at how good it actually is, because I was expecting to either get extremely disappointed or be extremely thrilled. I was either expecting extremely high or extremely low when it came to this film. And quite frankly, I'm in the middle of it. I'm not extremely low on it, obviously, but I am not extremely high on it. The movie, well done. It is visually beautiful. Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz have an amazing chemistry on screen. They are doing an amazing job with the characters they have. Everybody to me is killing it. They're, you know, all the actors are showing up to work. There isn't a bad performance at all anywhere. And the story pretty much revolves around, if you ever read the trade paperback, The Long Halloween, you would know this story. And there are moments in here that you're like, why is this here? Especially the zinger at the end. Well, towards the end, it is really not needed. There is a zinger here that with a certain other character of Batman's foes that you'd be like, why? Why are these two people interacting with each other? There's no point to it other than to, you know, get people talking about, oh my God, is he going to be in the next movie? Is he going to be the next bad guy and whatnot? There's no need for that. Like, we have enough of this character in movies already. We don't need another version of him. It's sickening how much Warner Brothers is obsessed with this character. They have to put him in everything. But honestly, overall, other than that, that's the most minute gripe that I have with this film. Other than the runtime. The runtime is just gave me a headache. I really wanted this movie to end. And unfortunately, even though this movie's 3 hours long, they kind of mess up the ending where everything is moving really fast. Everything gets resolved really fast. There's riddles that shouldn't have stumped Batman. Like, you know, I understand this is his second year, but he's also, by this point, he has become the world's greatest detective because of his intellect. One thing that they never get right, absolutely never get right in the movies, is how smart Batman Bruce Wayne really is. He's literally one of the two smartest men on the planet when it comes to intelligence. It's him, and then there's Lex Luthor. And probably Superman is somewhere in there, but we never know because Superman always acts like he's kind of dumb. They always write him dumb. That's a side rant. I don't want to get into it. But yeah, this is just something that it shouldn't have stumped him. The whole intrigue with him and his family, Bruce finding out secrets about his family, finding out things that, oh, you thought this about your family? No, no, no. This is not true. But then it's a swerve where it's not really about that. It's really about something else. Sorry if I'm keeping this. I just realized something. Sorry if I'm keeping this very vague. But if you're listening to this and if you haven't watched it, that's the reason why. I don't want to spoil this film for anybody that hasn't watched it. So, yes. Back to the Batman. Like I said, I enjoyed myself with this film. I thought it was really fun. If you're having doubts, if you think this is going to be a Ben Affleck Batman, it is not. This does have very little action scenes in it, considering it is a Batman film. Because this does lean more on the fact that he's a detective and not an action hero. You know, not John Wick. So there is very little action scenes here. There's one in the beginning of the film where he saves this guy from these people dressed up as Jokers or dressed up in clown makeup or whatever. And then there's some interaction in the middle, but then there's another big fight scene at the end where he's fighting off of all these bad guys, these Riddler bad guys that the Riddler, holy cow, that was hard to say, sent out in the film towards the end. And again, other than that, it is good, but there is a lot of visual porn in this film. A lot of visual porn. Oh yeah, and they also have a dope scene with a Batmobile car chase scene. Like, they needed to add a car chase scene here for whatever reason, because, you know, it ain't Batman without his Batmobile car chase scene. And yeah, highly recommend watching it if you're a superhero fan or if you're a Batman fan in general and you're on the fence. Yeah, go watch this. This is definitely worth it. This is by far the truest Batman I've seen on film. Outside of, hate to say it because all these freaking millennials keep talking about it, but other than Michael Keaton, this is definitely the most truest Batman I've seen. Even though Michael Keaton kills people, even though Batman doesn't. But as far as like the essence of Batman, the essence of Bruce Wayne, him having fun with the character, you know, him enjoying being the character. You see that here more than you did in any other film. And that's what I truly do appreciate about this film more than anything, is that Robert Pattinson is having a good time playing this character. He's enjoying himself. He's willing, you know, to become the character. And another great thing about this, this is the least we've ever seen of an actor playing Batman without the actual Batman costume on. He has his Batman costume on. We see him as Batman in that mask more than we see him without the mask, which I truly do enjoy. Any superhero that has a costume and has a mask on, it should be 80% mask, 20% no mask. That's the way I see it at most. If not even more, which should be maybe 90% mask, 10% no mask. You know, depends on the hero. However, I do think here he does have a good mix. I would have preferred more Batman. Like again, Pattinson plays an amazing Bruce Wayne. He plays an amazing Batman. Zoe Kravitz plays an amazing Selina Kyle. She does a really good job. I don't think I've ever seen her act in anything before. For me, this is the first time that I can recall watching her act, and she did an amazing job. Yeah, she was brilliant in this. I really enjoyed her work. Also, Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon, he did a really good job. I wish he would stop doing that Westworld, verbiage, the way he talks. He talks like he's whispering. It's constant. Like, we really got to get away from this actual whispering. I should just be able to hear them clearly. That just really annoys me with modern films. Yeah, that's where I'm going to end it for Batman. The Batman. Go to HBO Max. Watch it. Have fun. Make sure you have the 3 hours to give this film. And with that, if you agree or disagree with anything I have to say about the Batman or anything else that I will be talking about in this episode, let me know on Twitter at jlplays78 or by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com. And with that, let's move on to the next topic, which is Tomorrow on Netflix.
What are you doing?
살린 거야. 난 사람을 살리는 저승사자고.
자가 씨 몇 살이야?
420살이라고.
죽고 싶지 않잖아. 살고 싶잖아!
주마등의 온갈 환영합니다.
That was a quick trailer for 내일 or Tomorrow on Netflix, starring Rowoon, Kim Hae-soon, Lee So-hyuk, Kim Noori, Yoo Ji-yeon, Kim Hee-suk, and Kim Cho-eun. And a quick synopsis for this is, a young man made half-human and half-spirit by accident is employed by a company of Grin Reapers in the underworld to carry out special missions. So yes, this is a series about it's a supernatural series about Grim Reapers who have the task of stopping people from committing suicide. It's a special group division started because humans are committing suicide at an extremely high rate in South Korea. So if this keeps going, we're not going to have, you know, future humans, and the world of Reapers in South Korea and South Korea in general will be gone from the world, and then their afterlife will be gone because there's no more humans there in general. So they need to protect as many humans as possible. And there's also other Grim Reapers who just, you know, do their job normally, who are also not happy with that fact. They say if they're meant to die, then they're meant to die. If they want to kill themselves, let them kill themselves. That's not our problem that they want to die early or before their time. These two individuals were set there by Kami, or God, of the South Korea to put it, you know, a stop to this, or at least help out as many individuals as possible. And quite frankly, this series is extremely impressive by how much money there is on screen. I don't know what their budget is, but it shows on screen. It shows, like, the sets look beautiful. The sets are a combination of actual real sets with CG backgrounds, but they are stunning. When they show the actual real sets, it is beautiful. It is amazing. The clothing they wear, especially for the Kami character, the God character, her outfits took time to make, and they're extremely well done. It shows, again, in everything that they do, from the special effects visuals that they put, to a lot of things. Now, they did skimp out on a few things, like the actual how a person interacts with a spirit. Like, there's just little details. Like, they spend the money on a lot. They spend the majority of the budget on these specific things. But then when it comes to this specific part, it's like, what happened there? Right? But the series overall, it is very good. I've only seen it up to episode 6. Yeah, 6. Yeah, because that's the main episode I want to talk about, because that episode had me crying, and literally, like, I was literally in tears because how emotional it is. Now, you might want to watch the first two episodes, because those two episodes are really one giant pilot. Again, it's one giant story. It just goes into two episodes, so you might want to watch those two just to get a full concept of the show and everything and all the characters. But you can actually skip all the episodes until episode 6, because episode 6 is a standalone episode. And it's about them not actually helping a person that is going to commit suicide, but helping this person who's about to die, this old man that's about to die, and getting him ready for the afterlife. You know, helping him prepare and everything. And it's just this old man who served in the Korean War, who didn't accomplish much because he suffered from PTSD. He had a giant problem with his hand, where his hand would constantly start shaking and he couldn't actually hold anything on it, with it, I should say. And it's, and he's constantly being harassed by these gangster guys who want him gone because he's probably one of the last person in this little area that whoever is buying up the land wants his part of land so they can tear it all down and build new skyscrapers and whatnot. And they're there constantly harassing him. Unfortunately for them, the old man's about to die and these Reapers are here and they get their asses beat by the main Reaper of this small group. And it's really, really cool. The whole time we're going through with the old man and, you know, we're living his life. We're seeing how he lives day to day, how he just picks up garbage throughout the city to make ends meet. And then he takes it to this junkyard, right? He takes it to this junkyard where he gets as very little money. But because he knows he's about to die because of the Reapers are here, he was saving up this money and he gives it to the person that runs the junkyard because he's going through a hard time too. And he gives him all the money he saved up and he tells him to buy something nice for your kids and whatnot. And we also get flashbacks of him in the Korean War as a young man doing battle and seeing how, you know, he lived and what happened to him. And it's, again, this is where they spend the money for the budget of this episode is every time they show the war scenes, it's really good. It's almost that Saving Private Ryan quality. The small snippet that they do show. It isn't like full length, you know, it isn't a whole 30 minutes, like, small 5-minute chunk of a battle that he was in that they showed. That's it. It's just so touching. The main character who's not really dead, but he's not really a he's like the half human, half spirit guy. He is all heart and he just wants to help the old man. He wants him to, you know, live longer or die a peaceful death. But because of the situation that the old man's in, and that God was like, I'm not doing that. He's going to die the way he was supposed to die. If he's going to die in pain, he's going to die in pain. But at the end, they give him a hero's farewell where you see all the Reapers come forth, line up, and just line up from one side of the street and the other side of the street, each on each side, and he's just walking down. It's just so touching, and it's so beautiful because it is giving thanks to veterans that have to live this life. It's such a hard life. And I think, oh God, I'm pausing right here right now just to get myself in control. Okay, and it's just so touching and such a beautiful moment that will break your heart. I honestly cannot recommend this single episode more than anything. If you don't watch any other episode of this series whatsoever, if you think this is too stupid or corny, at least watch this episode, episode 6. It's called A Soul Becomes a Star, or When a Soul Becomes a Star, sorry. Again, a must-see episode. It is very amazing. I'm not even touching on the fact that on how the situation with him when he saved his young man from dying, and the young man was pissed off because, you know, he lost his leg during a bomb raid and he ended up losing his leg, and the old man saved his life, and the kid cursed at him and told him, why don't you let me die, because I can't live like this with one leg and whatnot. And then at the end of the episode, you find out that he's thankful. He ended up being thankful to him because he saved his life, and he finally, you know, saw that thanks to the Reapers, that he finally saw that he was thankful that he did live, and he was happy because of that, and he felt relieved because he thought he made a mistake. He felt awful that this young boy, his friend during the war, you know, felt this way and, you know, talked like that. And the choice that he made to go to war, he felt bad because he made that choice, and then he realizes that he made the right choice. I think that's brilliant and it's beautiful. And again, it just goes to show you that We still have heart. We still need people to care. Especially for older people that really don't have anyone left in their lives. It's just a beautiful, touching episode. I know I keep harping back and saying that, but go watch this episode. Again, the show is called Tomorrow. Just go watch it. Ne'il. Tomorrow. Watch episode 6 now. And with that, let's move on to the main event, which is Outer Range on Amazon Prime.
I want to pray for the supper. Dear God, we pray for our family. We ask that you forgive us. We ask that you show us the way here, because we're in trouble. You made this crazy world, so maybe you can give us some sort of hint as to what you're up to, because I don't have the first fucking clue. There is a big distance between you and us. There is a great void. I'm asking you to fill that void. I'm asking you to fill that void. I'm asking you to come down here and explain yourself, because this world of yours isn't quite adding up. Man, there is a great void!
That was a clip for The Outer Range on Amazon Prime. Well, just Outer Range on Amazon Prime. Starring Josh Brolin, Tom Filiferri, Lily Tyler, Louise Pullman, Noah Reed. Just name some of this large cast. A quick synopsis for this is a rancher fighting for his land and family stumbles upon an unfathomable mystery at the edge of Wyoming wilderness, forcing a confrontation with the unknown in ways both intimate and cosmic in the untenable American West. So yes, this is a great, interesting, out there series. So far, they're up to episode 4. They're releasing 2 episodes a week. So by the time you hear this, they should have episode 5 and 6 out. Or even later if you're listening to this way after the fact. But yes, Josh Brolin in this does an amazing job. I don't know where this series is going. This gives me vibes of American Gods in some ways, because on how they're unraveling the mystery. There are a cast of characters here that are like, what is going on? They're constantly referencing Zeus and, you know, his father, you know, the Titans and whatnot. And it's just very interesting. I'm thinking that he is one of the Titans, or the Titan, or Zeus himself, and he's lost his memory or doesn't remember who or what he is. And this giant hole that opened up out of nowhere, right, leads to another part, or I should say another time in the, yeah, on Earth, right? So it leads, spoilers, skip about 30 seconds, leads about 2 years into the future where things have happened and everybody knows about the hole. You see military and everything there. They show it for about a few minutes and then Josh Brolin jumps back into it and he ends up back where he, you know, back in his actual original time. Hopefully you skip that and you're here. And yeah, the whole mystery is explained what it is immediately at the beginning of episode 2. Or, well, not immediately, but in episode 2. And yes, this, again, is intriguing. There's things that are happening between him and this hippie girl that's gone to the ranch to look for quote-unquote inspirations, but she's really there for Josh Brolin. There are things that are happening that just doesn't make any sense. Like, for instance, there's a giant mountain, right? And that ends up disappearing and then also returning right back. And everybody in the town sees it. This isn't just like only Josh Brolin sees it. No, everybody's seeing these things that are happening. And it's just odd. Nobody can explain it. Everybody thinks they're going crazy. or, you know, the sheriff is also a really, like, hard balls prick. Like, she's a no joke. Like, she's just an ass. And she does everything by the book if needs to be. Every once in a while, she'll break the, you know, she'll twist the rules a little bit. But she's definitely a hard ass. But the whole thing about him, Josh Brolin, and his sons, that unfortunately one of them ended up committing accidental murder because they were fighting with one of their neighbors' kids. They were both drunk, you know. Well, they're not kids, but they're grown adults. But they were both drunk at a bar, and they started fighting, and they ended up killing them. And Brolin takes him, throws him down the well, and like 8 days later, he shows up at this mountain where the mountain disappeared. But the autopsy shows that he only died 10 hours ago. So yeah, it's been 8 days since he disappeared, but the autopsy shows that he only died 10 hours ago. So the people that were suspecting Josh Brolin and his family are like, it's kind of out the window now because the timeline doesn't match up now of the timeline of when he died and when he disappeared. But we have a lot of things that are just happening. The mystery continues. The whole mystery really revolves around Josh Brolin and who or what he is, and this hippie girl that seems to know who he is, but it's not really letting him know. You know, she might think that she knows, but she's not sure. It's just a lot of intrigue, a lot of drama with the family, and all that jazz. I just want to talk about this and give this a highlight because it is on Amazon Prime. And because it's on Amazon Prime, it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of, a lot of notoriety or a lot of attention at all, because it's on Amazon Prime. People don't seem to really pay attention to that service, but they're throwing really good stuff out. And this is one of them. Again, if you like that intrigue, you like that hard mystery where they just give you enough breadcrumbs to keep you interested, I suggest you watch this. This is very unique. I find it well crafted. I could do a little bit without the family drama and all that BS, but it definitely deserves a watch. But with that being said, I will end it here for The Outer Range. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you think about anything that I've talked about this week. And you can let me know all that on jlplays@podcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at jlplays78. And again, you can always find links for it in the show notes. And everything else I talk about, you can find links for it in the show notes. And with that, if you're new here, thank you for staying this long and listening all the way. If you're a returning listener, thank you for returning and continuing to listen and giving me support. I truly do appreciate everybody that returns, and I appreciate anybody that stayed with this episode as long as they have. And with that, remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.